the Agriculture Department is better equipped than many agencies to cope with sequestration. It's one of the few that has the authority to reprogram funds. Secretary Tom Vilsack yesterday authorized the use of that power. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details on how USDA will apply it. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So tell us how the Agriculture Department plans to apply this reprogramming authority.
Well, as you mentioned, USDA is allowed to apply it to only certain accounts and certain programs. And the goal of yesterday's decision by Secretary Vilsack is to address the impending cuts at the Farm Service Agency. Michael Young is the director of USDA's Office of Budget and Program Analysis. Listen to this exchange at yesterday's Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing between Young and Subcommittee Chairman of the Federal Workforce, Chairman Blake Fahrenthold.
You said you had a 7% ability to move around those cuts. Why are we just getting to that now when we've known about sequestration for a year?
Yes, sir. The authority that we have is it's called the Secretary's Interchange Authority, and it allows for the Secretary to transfer up to 7% from one account within an agency to another account within that same agency. It's not available to the Forest Service due to a proviso in the Interior Appropriations.
So would y'all be better off if we were to do a ag appropriations bill and get it through the Senate than operating under a CR?
It would provide more certainty, certainly.
So Young says this limited reprogramming authority is not available to everyone. In fact, the Food Safety Inspection Service, which we've heard a lot about as the meat and poultry inspectors who would, if they get furloughed, that would shut down the entire process of the inspections of meat and poultry. They would not be able to benefit from this ability to move money. So instead, they're facing those 11 days of furlough beginning, roughly in the next 45 days or so.
And Jason, I imagine some members of Congress and probably everyone else in other agencies were surprised that agriculture has that reprogramming flexibility, if you will. Do other agencies have it?
Surprised? I'd probably say maybe jealous. A lot of agencies wish they could do that same thing. But most do not have that reprogramming authority. In fact, Congress is trying to give the Defense Department some help in moving money around, some of that flexibility in the 2013 funding bill that's kind of going through Congress now. Obviously, they're not giving that same flexibility to civilian agencies. The issue of reprogramming was actually a big point of contention during the hearing yesterday. Democrats say only Congress can grant them the authority to reprogram, and Republicans say, well, that's true, but if agencies had 20 months to plan for sequestration, why didn't they ask for help? Start off, let's listen to this exchange between Elijah Cummings, the ranking member of the full committee, and all three witnesses, USDA's Young, the FCC's David Robbins, and the Commerce Department's Harry Sastry.
Do you have legal authority to restore by reprogramming or transferring funds those cuts right now without prior authorization from us, the Congress?
No. Sir, we have the authority as I described it.
That 7% thing you talked about?
7%, but that does require us to notify the Appropriations Committees 30 days in advance of making such a transfer.
And you, sir?
No, sir.
Isn't it true that each of your agencies is restricted by appropriation acts and authorizing statutes from reprogramming or transferring funds to the degree necessary to completely restore the across-the-board cuts that sequestration requires? Yes, sir.
We cannot transfer that much. That's correct.
Again, just with the caveat on our specific authority.
I would just note the SEC has really one account. As a small agency, we're a bit different than the others.
Now, Cummings says Congress makes the laws, Congress enforces the laws, and only Congress can change the laws to give agencies that reprogramming and help. But while Republicans generally don't disagree with that concept, many in the subcommittee believe agencies could have been a little more proactive. Now, listen to this exchange between Congressman Paul Gosar and the witnesses.
My understanding is it's a two-way street that you can also ask Congress in regards to making these cuts a little bit different. Is that not true, Mr. Sastry? It's a two-way street in communication in regards to sequestration, is it not?
The sequestration law itself had very limited flexibility.
But you can ask Congress to give you that flexibility, can you not?
We can request reprogramming.
Yes, you can. Did it ever come from your agency?
It
didn't. How about you, Mr. Young?
Yes, sir.
You actually wrote a letter in regards to this?
The secretary did just sign a letter this morning with regard to transferring some funds within our Farm Service Agency.
No, but I'm asking you, did you petition Congress in regards to having some more flexibility within the agency?
We do.
You didn't. How about you, Mr. Robbins?
As I mentioned earlier, the FCC only really has one account, and so transferring funds is not the same issue for us.
In fact, the full committee chairman, Dara Issa, about February 28th, asked major agencies to submit to the committee ideas to cut programs, you know, duplicative programs, to help offset sequestration. Now, the committee received actually no suggestions from any agency except from DOD, and Congressman Issa said those suggestions were already sent to the House Armed Services Committee and Appropriations Committee, so they already kind of knew what DOD was planning to do. USDA's Young and Commerce's Sastry both say that they are working on those suggestions, but that didn't make Congressman Issa any more happy. He said, you know, the goal was to give us one or two of those, what he called slam dunk ideas, that it could have been written into a bill, gotten passed in a matter of days, to help agencies more quickly. But now, since no agency has offered any ideas, that time is actually lost.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. So did this hearing offer any insight into how agencies and Congress are actually going to deal with the cuts?
That was the hope. I mean, I think there's a lot of reporters there and a lot of people there yesterday hoping that there would be something useful. Instead, it became what I'll call a food fight between Democrats and Republicans. They wanted to place the blame. Whose fault was it for sequestration? Did the White House overstate the effects of the cuts? Should the White House have done a better job telling agencies to plan for it? And basically, the Republicans all said one thing, the Democrats all said the other, and they talked across each other and around each other, but never to each other. And so while this is happening, these agencies are going to have to deal with sequestration, obviously. The FCC says it is in decent shape to absorb the $17 million in cuts that they face. Robbins said they don't expect furloughs at this point in time. Commerce and USDA are much larger agencies. Commerce is facing $567 million in cuts, and USDA is going to face almost $2 billion in reductions. So agencies do have by April 1st, as required under the Budget Control Act, to submit plans to the president for implementing sequestration. So is it a bit early to say how the exact impact? Yes, but at the same time, Republicans say, well, we have had plenty of time. We had 20 months since this sequestration became law.
Jason, it seems, I mean, nobody threw chairs or anything, right, or jumped over the rostrum and attacked each other by the collar yesterday.
Well, it was not that kind of, it was more of a verbal food fight than a physical food fight.
Because it seems so odd to me that, you know, agencies are very reluctant as a rule to ask for transfer because they get run over the rails over the coals when they do because Congress has appropriated and that's what they asked for. And so it just seems patently unfair for these congressmen to jump down the throats of the federal officials for not asking for something that is so rarely and reluctantly granted in the first place.
I think you're absolutely right. I think you hit the nail on the head on that one because it's not something that's in the culture. It's not something, a habit that's ever been done. And it's something that you kind of do, what's my reaction going to be from Congress? Do I really want to put up with this type of reaction? Now, OMB, to their credit, has been encouraging agencies over the last month and a half, 2 months, to ask for this reprogramming authority. You know, why didn't more agencies do it? It's hard to say exactly, but it seems to be that's the point of contention for many Republicans.
It's almost as if Congress is saying to them, in effect, they are saying to them, in effect, well, we've made this unbelievable mess, both of us, that is to say Republicans and Democrats, how come you didn't give us some ideas for how to fix it when it is Congress that is looked to by agencies for leadership in finalizing the budget? I guess I'm asking rhetorically, but
yeah.
I wish I'd been there.
Well, I think that's part of the problem. And the other piece of it is both sides were just kind of yelling at each other, and the witnesses were caught in the middle trying to answer questions the best they could. In fact, the Commerce Department gentleman, Mr. Sastry, was, as they said many times, reluctantly testified yesterday. And part of the reason was he said, listen, we have a lot of assumptions that were based on this type of funding, and then funding changes. We got the Hurricane Sandy supplemental appropriations. Now Congress is close to passing the 2013 budget. That's also going to impact agencies and how they address cuts. So that alone is leaving agencies in a very uncertain area, too, in terms of how they will apply those cuts. And I think that's why the April 1st deadline, according to some Democrats, is much more important than to ask today.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller.